It is 21 minutes past the hour. It's a Tuesday, and we've got Dr. Don Clark joining us now. Don is a biochemist and a vigneron located down in the Garden Valley, Texas. That's just somewheres east of Dallas-Fort Worth. And he raises grapes, and he talks on the radio, and he's also a board member at Creation Moments. Don, we missed you last week. Good to have you back. How you doing?
I'm doing well, yes, because we haven't been doing this for some time.
Oh, that's true.
I completely forgot. I got up Tuesday and it just went about my normal routine, and it wasn't until probably later that night that I said, oh my goodness, I forgot the radio program.
I wasn't going to tell people that. Don fessed up to me by email later on, but I wasn't going to hold you responsible for that. So anyway.
But I'm back today.
Yeah. And Don has chosen an article to talk about, and it's about, well, Don, you say it.
It's about trees. Actually.
Yeah, I could have done that.
It's about an extinct tree, actually. It's Cladopsylopsid fossils.
That's easy for you to say. Yeah.
Yes, it is. Relatively easy, you know, with my scientific background.
I can decipher
some of these words. Hopefully I'm pronouncing it at least partially right. But it was found in the Devonian rock layers in China. Northwest China. And the thing that makes this interesting about this particular fossil is that, well, it no longer exists, but there's a lot of fossils that no longer, at least the fossil exists, mm-hmm. but the plant that it's representing no longer exists. But it's apparently got a very complex structure. As a matter of fact, it's more complex than the trees that we have today. So from an evolutionary point of view, where you're looking at, the evolutionary picture goes from simple to complex. So the fossil record should show much simpler organisms, if you will, or plants, than more complex. But this one happens to be more complex. And why is it more complex? Well, it actually has bundles of fibers, for example, that with the phloem tubes and everything, instead of a more structure like a tree would have, and the center of these, because the fossil that they found, they had leaves of these fossils long before, but this year they found actually kind of like a tree trunk, if you will, mm-hmm. and that gave a little bit better picture of what these things might have looked like. But the center of the tree was hollow.
There's no wood there?
And there was no wood in it. And a matter of fact, the way this particular tree grows is obviously trees grow, you know, from the outside, and they just get bigger and bigger.
Layer after layer is what we're used to, right?
Right. And this one also grows from the outside, but then the inside, when a new outer ring, if you will, forms, the inside just collapses. And so you're just left with this big, the tube getting, the central tube just getting bigger and bigger and bigger. They found, of course, that this has leaves, it has stems, it has, you know, roots.
Let me take it. I'm still trying to envision how this tree works. So it forms another layer, and then the inner layer that had been supporting the tree dissolves or drops or collapses, which is why it remains hollow. So it's just an outer shell of what we would think of as a tree.
Right. And then, you normally think the tree, okay, it's got bark. And yes, the bark, some trees flake off their bark quite a lot. This one apparently doesn't even have a bark. It's just got this tree structure on the outside. And then when it forms another structure around that, the inner structure, you know, collapses.
Here's a tough question for you then. Why do we call it a tree? Isn't it more like a grass or a plant stem?
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Or a fern.
Yeah.
The question was, is this just a very complicated big, huge fern that grew because and it's hard to imagine what this thing looked like. And I was looking for pictures, and all I found were pictures of the fossil, of what the plant might have looked like. And maybe if I had more time, I'd probably find some pictures. But it's probably similar to, what you envision from a prehistoric, pictures where you got dinosaurs and, and everything, and you got this big fern with the branches, kind of like a palm tree, on the top and nothing on its sides. The parent had no leaves or stems.
Yeah, what I'm picturing is one of those baobab trees from Africa that looks like a smooth outside and kind of a crown of stuff on the top, leaves and branches on top, but the trunk itself is pretty bare. And it's an odd looking tree. I'm wondering if they're related. But this fossil comes from China, doesn't it?
Well, they found these in China. Mm-hmm. At least they may have been, this had been known, tree, fern, whatever you want to call it, had been known for quite some time. And they just recently, this year, discovered, but they only had the leaves, the leaves and the stems, for example. They didn't find any trunks. Well, the new discovery was that they found this trunk, and the trunk structure was extremely complex, something that they hadn't seen before.
Any indication of the size, the diameter of this?
Oh, the diameter is 70, up to, it says, up to 70 centimeters.
Okay, divided by 2.5, that's about 30 inches, something like that.
Yeah. Okay, so let me, yes, about 30 inches would be good. So, that's a pretty big, even for a tree, 30, three feet
nice
in diameter.
Tree, yeah.
Yeah, it's a nice size. Now, supposedly, this tree or fern lived 390 to 320 million years ago. Mm-hmm. And so that was the time before the monkeys and the chimps and the dinosaurs. And if you, from an evolutionary time frame standpoint. Mm-hmm. But, of course, we know that, how in the world whenever you find a fossil, you got to get one question you should ask is, how did it get there? And what are fossils kind of made of? All right. Yes, it's rock and it's an impression in the rock from something dying, whether it be an animal form or a plant form. And so we chip away at the rock or the clay, then you see the imprintation of the fern or of the tree or whatever it happens to be. Now, in some of these, obviously mineralize, and then you have a petrified forest, for example. Well, in order to form any fossil, you have to have a catastrophe.
You have to have certain conditions that result in fossils. Yeah, they don't happen just everywhere.
Yes. Yeah. Certain conditions, must take place. If a tree falls in the forest and nobody hears it, did the tree actually fall? I mean, no, it's not that question. But
I can't help it, but that reminds me of the joke that we have fun with here. If you're all by yourself in the forest.
If I say something in the middle of the woods and it's not true, does my wife still hear it? She's not there.
Probably.
Well, that's
probably
an adaptation of the joke. Yeah. But yeah, okay.
Adaptation of the tree story.
No, if you're in the middle of the woods and you express an opinion and your wife's not there, are you still wrong?
Yes.
That's the way it works. Well, we've got this tree in the woods.
Anyway, yeah. So the point was, if a tree falls in the forest, what is it going to do? Over time, it's going to decay, and there's not going to be very much, left. I mean, you can go walking through a forest and see dead trees down in the various degrees of decay. And there's things as moss that grows on top of it and, mold and all of that and insects that kind of take the tree and ants that take the tree apart. And eventually, it goes back to the dust. of the Earth. And the same thing with us, obviously. But in order to get a fossil, you have to bury it very, very quickly. And you have to bury it in a mud layer. So the question is, where did that mud layer come from, and why are these mud layers so thick? Which then, you know, eventually, over a little bit of time, compresses and then forms shale or some type of rock on top of it.
Well, you usually, don't you tend to find fossils in a single layer, and it might be yards deep, but below it and above it, not they're not fossils, which indicates a certain point in time when the fossils themselves were actually created.
Well, and that's where the 390 to 320 million years, comes in, is determined by the layer that the fossil is formed in. However, they don't explain the formation of the fossil. You know, most classic evolutionary stories is that, the tree fell over, and, eventually, over time, it got... sediment over it, maybe some water came and with some minerals and kind of petrified it. But eventually it got buried, and over time that compressed, and now you got a layer there for the eons of time that have taken place. That doesn't make any sense at all, because our common day experience, as I said, the walk in the forest, is that you look around and these trees are decaying. You're not going to have anything left over a period of time. So the point is that the fossil was buried very, very quickly by a lot of mud. And so you get these layers from a rapidly flowing mud or mud flows, and the types of material in the layer is dependent on the density of the particles, the sand particles or the mud particles, if you will, in that particular layer. It has nothing to do with time, because a lot of these things were laid down at the same time or nearly at the same time, which, of course, from a creation point of view, is the time of the flood, a global worldwide flood, where you had tremendous catastrophe happening, for at least 40 days and probably, for the almost 6 months or so. Of course, Noah and his sons and wives were in the ark for almost a year before they were able to come out. But so the Earth was being completely transformed during this period of time. It's estimated that some of these sediment layers are so thick at the coastlines, interestingly enough, that and they kind of taper off as you go inland. So you can even look at the United States and the coastlines on the eastern coast. These layers, sediment layers, are 2,000 meters deep. But you get a little bit further in, they taper off, as if there was big waves, big tsunamis that crashed into the coastline, laying down these layers. And these were so large, these tsunamis were so large, that it carried the mud and it carried the debris, if you will, all the way, even, can you imagine, all the way to Texas? I mean, but even further, actually. So the things that we see, the canyons that we see, are evidence of all of this activity that was taking a single
cataclysmic event, which may have lasted for some time. It wasn't over in an hour and a half, but it certainly didn't take millions of years.
Right. So the explanation for this fossil, then, in other in all fossils, for that matter, is that there was a cataclysmic event, and this one happened to be, part of the global cataclysmic event that wiped out these trees and wiped out a lot of things during that period of time. But we know that at least one kind, at least one pair of every kind of animal was on the ark, so they got preserved. And yes, the dinosaurs were on the ark as well.
The flaw in the logic from the evolution standpoint should be apparent, I think, to most people, because when you think of it, there are two ways very old things get preserved. Either they wallow into, there's an animal in a tar pit, or an animal who got engulfed in a landslide or buried, and it's found as an animal yet, preserved over the eons. And then there are fossils. And I don't know that there's ever been a new fossil. I mean, what's the youngest fossil you would ever hope to see? Are you saying that all fossils date back to the flood?
Well, you would have to have a catastrophe for a fossil to be formed. And so you could have a local catastrophe like we did at Mount St. Helens, mm-hmm. where, you know, the top of the volcano just blows one side of it off. And all of this, of course, there was a lake up at the top, which a frozen lake, which mm-hmm. which melted and carried with it the sediment. And that came rushing down the side of the mountain. And you know, I'm sure there were many animals as well as vegetation that got buried, trees in particular. And so if we go back to that area and start excavating and start digging, we would probably find some fossils mm-hmm. or evidence of some fossils. So, you know, it depends. You could have local fossil formation.
Yeah, see, that was now 1980, 1981, so those fossils would be, what, 35 years old?
Yeah, they'd only be 35 years old. Mm-hmm. And so you would have, for example, you know, a younger fossil going on than you know some
but
of these
but just
older.
for the record, we don't know that there are fossils from that time there.
No, we don't. Yeah. We don't. Mm-hmm. That's true. Yeah. That's true. But the conditions were right for potentially forming them. And the interesting thing is that, of course, the Forestry Department has set aside a huge area around Mount St. Helens that says you can't touch this. Mm-hmm. And so you can't go in there. You only there along their paths, and so you can't go and do any exploration in that area.
You can't pick up a rock there, for example.
You can't even pick up a rock.
Legally,
I mean, you could
yeah.
pick up a rock, but mm-hmm. you know they could put you in jail for mm-hmm. picking up a rock.
Yeah.
It's like, and of course, you know, there is a lumber company all around that area, and if you go visit, you'll see on the side of the hills and the mountains there where the lumber company owns the land or is leasing the land, they've long ago have planted trees, and those trees are growing up, and now they're almost ready to harvest again. Mm-hmm. But in the area that the Park Service controls, they're just leaving it pristine and natural and watching, you know, how quickly
they want it untouched so that the scientists can observe what's happening and take notes. I've got some in this time we have remaining. I'm going to address another question, which is kind of an overriding issue here. Evolution says things started simple and became complex over time. Organisms of every kind, plants and animals, all tended toward more complex species, more complex characteristics. But the world of science, pure science now, has always said historically that things get simpler the smaller they get. In other words, if you get down to an atom, it's just a simple thing. It's an atom. And yet science has discovered that's not the case, that as you get smaller and smaller, you actually find more and more complexity. So it's like there's two different trends here. Evolution is saying on a broad scale that animals and plants became more complex over time. Science is what thought originally that things got simpler the smaller they got. Now, this is maybe like apples and oranges, but it sounds like everybody's pretty confused.
Well, you know, when you don't have a global perspective and a historic perspective. I mean, we God didn't leave us in the dark as to how things happen. He wrote it. He had it written down in a book. Some of it is pretty cryptic, but if you look at the evidence around you, the picture begins to fall in place. And when God says that he created everything that's created, not only on this earth, but in the universe, including the angels, within 6 days. All of them were created within 6 days, and nothing was created beyond the 6 days. And on the seventh day, of course, he rested. Mm-hmm. So looking at it from that perspective, every organism that is created or was created is as it was supposed to be. Now, as time passes on, you get diversity or variations within a kind. And so now we've got a different classification system. Instead of saying this is a kind of apple tree, for example, we've got all kinds of apple trees, which we call different species of apple trees. We've got all kinds of humans, and we call them, you know, this is this race or that race. At least we say that we're all human, at least most of us do. Mm-hmm. But, you know, so you throw in the definition of a species, and you call a wolf a different species than a dog. Is it really? You know, if you look at the DNA structure, you probably find extreme similarities between a wolf and a dog.
Creationists will say, yes, there are variations within a kind, but there was never a cat made out of a dog or an elephant made out of an alligator. Or a human made out of a whale that came on land.
Yes.
Yeah. And then furthermore, my point about the simple to complex and complex to simple is simply to suggest that both evolution and science have based findings on assumptions, not necessarily facts. But after so much training and so much education, most of us are given to interpret these assumptions as facts, which leads us into error.
That's exactly right. And so you have to look at your assumptions. You have to look at your starting point. What conclusions you draw will not from the facts. I mean, the conclusions that you draw from the facts, okay, we've got a fossil, and we've got a fossil of a tree that's more complex than the trees that are growing today. What conclusions are you going to draw from that? Well, a creationist would look at that and say, well, of course, you know, there are more complex structures out there that were formed during creation, and this is yet more evidence for the theory of devolution.
Mm-hmm. That's right, Don's theory of devolution. I knew you were going to get around to that at some point, but yeah, you're exactly right. And what the, this whole tree, this whole clapidopterixal lopsided tree says is that it may be time to reexamine some of the basic premises of both evolution and scientific discovery, don't you think? Never hurts to reexamine the premises, yeah.
Wikipedia says that the tree is expected or thought to be an ancestor of a fern and horsetail. It's what you were talking about earlier.
Well, Don, we learned something today, but we didn't learn how to pronounce clapidopterixal. But we're grateful for your help in this. An interesting story about this.
Cladoxylopsid.
Yeah. Cladoxylopsid.
Something like that, yeah. Don Clark, biochemist and a member of the Board of Creation Moments. I want to mention the Creation Moments website to you, creationmoments.com. You learn a lot about what evolution is and what it isn't there, and you learn a lot about biblical creation there, science that supports biblical creation. So I recommend a trip there, creationmoments.com. Don, thanks very much for joining us today. We'll catch you next Tuesday, okay?
Okay, sounds good.
Take care.
You folks have a great week.
You too, Don.